Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad, and this is Larry.
Hi, I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm a program manager here at Microsoft, working on the developer team with Vlad.
Yeah, what you used to do in Microsoft before joining our team?
Oh, I've had a lot of different roles here at Microsoft. I was working on Windows Mobile and Windows Phone for a long time, working with developers for those audiences.
This is cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember that time. I used to be in my previous team, and we worked a lot with you. And it was a very, very positive experience. And like, if you ask an external audience, like, who's the, I don't know, Windows platform guy today, and like many people say, oh, Larry Lieberman, and you know, I meet you on every second developer conference.
Thanks, Vlad.
Back in the world. Yeah, what we're gonna do today is we start talking about Surface and the new initiative between many companies like Microsoft, HP, and Dell.
Basically making it a lot easier for enterprises to get their hands on Surface because, you know, I think Surface is selling really, really well. Mm-hmm. People are excited about the Surface Pro especially, and the Surface 3. And now, through this agreement, enterprises that are already working with HP and Dell will be able to get Surface devices directly from them.
Yeah, which is great. Sometimes for, like, many legal or business reasons, mm-hmm. They work with a particular vendor for doing all the hardware. And now, if you like Surface and you work in a huge enterprise, getting all the hardware from Dell or HP, you can get Surface, which is great.
And this impacts a lot of developers who work in enterprise, so that's why we thought it was relevant.
Yeah, it's a great mobile productivity device, right?
A lot of people develop on them. I think you've got one right there.
Yeah, I'm doing my development on Surface in addition to my office.
It's a really powerful device for all your computing needs.
Yeah, and talking about the mobile productivity, we're moving to a recent announcement made at actually Apple's event.
Oh, right. So people were surprised. Kirk Konigsbauer from Microsoft, one of the engineering leads of our office organization, was on stage.
Yeah, and it was a huge surprise, and like Apple folks, they said, like, who's going to talk about productivity if not Microsoft?
Well, they have a new computer that's a tablet computer that's focused on productivity, so they wanted to make sure that they had a great version of Office on it, and they have a new version of their OS, their iOS 9, that they were talking about as well. So Kirk was there at the mm-hmm. event talking about how Office is going to bring some great productivity features to iOS. And you know, the really interesting thing to mm-hmm. note here is that Office uses a lot of the same code to target all these different platforms. They've written a lot of custom C code over the years that they use to create all the great experiences in their apps on iOS, on macOS, on Windows, and then on Windows Phone too.
Exactly, yes. They share code between desktop version, mobile mm-hmm. version on Windows, like as a universal app, and iOS and Android. It's a really huge shared code base.
There was a great session on this at Build, actually, that we should point people to in the notes if they want to see it, just on how they did that. Because they're one of the big proponents of universal apps.
Yeah, Office is a truly universal app. Great. And talking about multi-platform capabilities of applications, we actually just shipped an update for Minecraft Windows 10 edition. And with this update, you can start playing with the Pocket Edition players.
Well, so, that's nice. I know a lot of people were excited when it finally came out for Windows Phone, but mm-hmm. you couldn't actually engage in a lot of the gameplay. And so now that's been fixed.
And and it also has capabilities with the Xbox Live multiplayer. So it's really like a universal and multiplayer edition of Windows 10.
It's a great example about what we talk about with universal apps. It's not just about sharing code across devices. It's actually about tying the experiences together and creating experiences that go from device type to device type. And so this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, this is great. I'm looking forward to getting more platforms involved.
I want the HoloLens version of Minecraft.
Yeah, playing with the Pocket Edition, yes, sure. Yeah, and we demonstrated
I know, it was demonstrated it a while ago.
That's all fair. And again, continuing the multi-platform story, we recently announced that we're going to bring support of VP9 and WebM to Edge. So finally,
this more video streaming formats.
Yeah, more video streaming formats. And mentioning again that the Apple event, you probably know that, like, at the first time in years, Windows users were able to watch the Apple event because of HLS support in the Edge. And now we're going to bring VP9 support, and basically you're going to have even more content available to you.
This really speaks to some of the core principles of Edge all up, is really to have best-in-class support for as many of these standards as possible to create great experiences for people.
Exactly. And it's also going to be eventually available for developers, though. It's just expanding developer platform both for users and, of course, for developers as our main audience here at Channel 9. Moving to Visual Studio and actually Visual Studio Code, we shipped the September update with a bunch of new features, and it's growing. We are trying to keep it simple. We're trying to keep it fast, so because people want it. Don't make another huge.
It's really ID. Lightweight, but extremely powerful in terms of like Git integration and the ability to actually have a rich editing experience and debugging experience as well.
Yeah.
So across all the different platforms too. I know Mac users are excited for the first time to be able to use our editors.
Exactly. So it's multi-platform and it's a great capability. It's fast. So that's basically our.
It's really
main
goals. It installs really fast too. That's the thing I like about it.
Yeah. Multi-platform, fast and powerful. Awesome. That's what everybody needs from their IDE. Visual Studio Code is there. And another news we're going to talk about is actually Slack integration with the ASP.NET app. And a great post by Henrik about integrating a very popular collaboration platform, I would say.
Well, Slack has taken the world by storm. I think that there's a lot of enterprises out there that use Slack, and actually, some people are referring to it as an email killer.
Exactly.
Because it's so powerful in terms of being able to connect people working on projects together in ways that they weren't able to as well before. Now, I think the thing about this is that if you currently have some custom internal websites that you leverage for project management of some sort or any other type of workflow, you can add Slack groups to those pages very, very easily now. So this is something that lots of people will be interested in.
Yeah, this is a great collaboration feature, and it's also a great example of how you can use ASP.NET webhooks, right?
Definitely.
But like real-life example, not like another sample.
It's all about the real-life examples.
Yeah, this is cool. Next thing, talking about the web, it's basically new version of Node, and it's major version. It's like 4.0.0, and it's a stable version, so you can use it in production now. So what's cool about this release? And it's obviously new features because it's a major version. It's a stable release. A bunch of bugs, features, ES6 features. So that's really great, and I'm sure it's gonna get traction. And what's cool about Node.js and Azure?
Well, certainly we have, you know, very first-class support for Node on Azure. Those of you building solutions on Azure will be aware of this already. But it's one of many, you know, extremely popular open-source approaches.
Really, extremely popular.
Extremely popular that we support with Azure. Azure has this cornerstone principle of being a first-class supporter of all these different open-source approaches. So,
exactly. And talking about your code. Everybody writes code, right? Mm-hmm. And different people have different capabilities on code quality.
Well, you know, it's becoming much more important for everyone to create maintainable code.
Exactly.
I think if you work in an enterprise, you know, you may work on a project for a little bit of time, but it's guaranteed that you may move on to something else at some point, and other people will have to go figure out what you wrote. So maintainability, testability is really important, and clarity, just having clear code in general. So CodeLens is actually a plugin for Visual Studio that actually will automatically parse your code and give you some feedback in terms of how maintainable your code is and how testable it is.
Yeah, there are some criteria and metrics, and this tool automatically runs and analyzes your code and basically gives you an idea of how good is your code in terms of maintainability. It may be fast, it may be awesome. The idea and the implementation may be perfect.
Some of the highest performing code is extremely unmaintainable.
Yeah, but the next guy who's gonna work with your code is gonna hate you and find you and you know.
and you need to balance those things. But it turns out, you know, when you think about the life cycle of some big enterprise solution, you really do need to work maintainability into that, regardless of performance impact that it might have.
Yeah. So definitely check this out and use it, by the way. MS Build. What happened with MS Build?
It's cross-platform now.
Yeah, based on .NET Core. .NET Core is cross-platform. It means MS Build is.
And it's published to GitHub now too, so you can actually go look at how we built MS Build.
Yeah, and it's very very powerful system. It's now I believe it's part of Windows, not even like Visual Studio.
I think so. I'm not quite sure on that though. But so, it is a key piece of the build system, and in fact, it has a wide variety of different types of applications, not just even compilation, but many of the different types of DevOps processes can be integrated into MS Build workflow, I believe.
So go ahead, use this code in your projects. You probably want to build another build system. And of course, contribute and make it better. This is all about open source. We already mentioned samples.
Talking about
samples. And their kind of applicability to certain APIs.
You know, a lot of people don't even know about this immense sample library for Windows. Mm-hmm. And it's been updated with each release. You know, Windows now being releasing so frequently, it's really critical that you get your hands on, you know, the most up-to-date code samples. And so the engineering team has made it a critical priority to maintain this library on GitHub, this universal sample API library. With over 100 different scenarios. Raymond Chen has been one of the core developers at Microsoft working on Windows for a really long time. He was one of the first popular bloggers with his blog, The Old New Thing, which is showing here. But he's also one of the key people on the sample effort. And he's built a little bit of a tool, this API concordance tool, that you can actually go through and find the exact sample for specific API calls. So it's actually really a powerful way to navigate through a tree of different scenarios. Here you'll see app model, data, devices, foundation, and find the scenarios that you care most about, and then immediately find the sample that corresponds to that.
Yeah, this is huge. So what I'm doing these days, I actually go to GitHub. I'm looking for a specific API and trying to find using search. With this tool, you can just find an API and find a corresponding sample.
I'm continually amazed at the quality of these samples too. There's just a lot of work was done to make them professional grade samples that exhibit best practices across all of these different scenarios. So highly recommend that you check these out if you're at all interested in universal Windows development.
Great. This is great. Moving on. Unity 5.2.
Universal App
Support.
Yeah,
you know I love gaming. There is no Channel 9, This Week on Channel 9 show without mentioning gaming stuff, even when I'm not
here.
Well,
Unity is bigger than games too, though.
And Unity is not just about gaming. So what's big about 5.2?
5.2, universal app support for universal Windows apps.
Finally! We already announced in this studio many betas and release candidates of 5.2 with UWP support. Now they released it. Now it's final, so you can use it and you can build universal Windows games using Unity. This is huge.
Or apps that leverage Unity functionality to deliver 3D scenarios too. Yeah. People are using this in enterprise now, apparently.
Yeah. Non-gaming stuff is huge. If you ask Unity folks, it's huge. Of course, games are visible, but not gaming stuff is also very, very important.
There's all sorts of really compelling scenarios where 3D visualizations might be an interesting addition to what you're working on. And I believe Unity has some really great programs around giving you access to trying the tools out, as well as I think any developer program too. So if you're, don't be discouraged by the fact that Unity is a big program, a big set of offerings. You should be able to try it out pretty easily if you haven't.
Yeah, before. There was a community edition, so you just use it.
But the other thing to note, though, Visual Studio support for Unity.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about. They ship with the Visual Studio support. Mm-hmm. Now Visual Studio is their main editor and main IDE on Windows.
Right.
Yeah, basically, when you install it, they're going to offer you installing Visual Studio Community Edition 2015 if you didn't do it before.
Well, this is just fantastic. I mean, I remember people years ago with Unity really, really wanted Visual Studio support, and then it came along, and now it's finally fully integrated.
Yeah, there was a Unity VS company recently acquired, and now basically offer it for free with Unity and Visual Studio, or you can download it separately. This is big. This is what I'm using every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both Visual Studio and Unity. Talking about Visual Studio.
Support for COBOL.
Man, I know everybody uses COBOL these days, like half of you.
It's the hot new thing, I heard.
Yes, and like a lot of people still love COBOL, a lot of people still use it, and like bringing the COBOL support to Visual Studio is a huge step for them, right? They can finally use a great IDE for doing COBOL stuff.
The more enterprises that I talk to, the more I'm continually amazed and impressed about how people have sustained COBOL applications and COBOL libraries for like over a decade in some cases. Now that Visual Studio has support for COBOL, I think things will be much easier for these folks.
Exactly.
And it's just another example of how at Microsoft we're extremely committed to trying to deliver great offerings that are extensible to support a wide variety of different types of developer needs, because we realize that developers, and this is why Visual Studio is so extensible.
Yeah, and you can imagine how big this push is from the enterprises to Visual Studio team if Microsoft decided to ship this.
Mm-hmm.
So COBOL is still big.
Right.
Okay, we reached this my favorite stage of the show, picks of the week.
Pick of the week.
And we start from Larry's pick of the week, which is...
My pick of the week is a blog that showed up on the Developing Windows blog just this week about using inking and speech support in Windows. Windows platform now, Windows 10, has very rich support for integrating the functionality of Cortana directly in your application, as well as new unique forms of input, inking isn't new by any means, but prior to having rich API support, it could be extremely complicated native programming tasks to integrate.
Yeah, but with Windows 10, we also did the huge job on the hardware and the driver low level side to make the latency and performance really good with inking. So now you can really feel like you're writing with a real pen.
But there's a lot of different sorts of aspects of speech support, not just what you traditionally experience from extending Cortana. There's also actually transcribing text as well as through dictation. And there's also speech synthesis. So you can actually have your application talk to your users.
And you can talk to your application.
So, right.
Yeah, this is really huge. That's why I'm wearing Cortana, the short thing, right?
But that's all extremely complex functionality that prior to us exposing this in a library would have been rather difficult to implement.
Exactly. This is really big, and I hope people will start using both inking and speech in their applications. That gives a huge advantage to your applications when you're talking about users. And I talk about many times. My pick of the week. You already heard many times from me and from other folks about Win2D. And you probably know that even before Windows 10, it was since 8.1, you can render XAML to an image.
Mm-hmm.
And with these two features, like Win2D with the filters and image processing stuff, and ability to render XAML to image, you can do really funny stuff. You can do effects on your UI, basically. Or you can do something like semi-transparent windows and like
it's
fancy
great to
thing.
Get users' attention on a specific part of your application. If you want to blur out part of your application while you have a dialogue up or something, there's some interesting things you can do here.
Exactly, and then with XAML, you have very powerful tools and APIs to render very complicated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But once you have these filters and Win2D effects, you can kind of apply filters to this and make them fancy, make like fancy shadows or...
Yeah, the real news here is about Win2D, I think. You know, the fact Win2D has all these filters that are so ridiculously...
Oh, there are dozens of them.
And they're ridiculously easy to use. I
exactly.
Mean,
from like
that's the thing that...
Before it was like tens of kilobytes of C++ code with the shaders and DirectX and so on.
And that's like two lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some cases. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
In some cases, it's like 10 lines. And really, like 90 lines, it's already really complicated stuff. I remember like that number. So check this blog post by Nikola Metuliev on his metuliev.com blog and like and use it. This is awesome. That's it for this week. Thank you for being with us. And have fun. Bye.
Bye-bye.